Choice Tunes every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2 p.m. with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Welcome to Choice Tunes. Of course, I'm Alan Collier, and it's my absolutely pleasure to introduce a man to you. You probably have heard his name mentioned occasionally, but not all that often. His name is Murray Hardinge, and without his input, we wouldn't be broadcasting today, and there would be no Yarra Valley FM 99.1. But first of all, we want to go way back. And now, this show is all about the guest's life, about the different things they've done and the music that has played a part of their life. But first of all, I've got to really go back to Murray's dad, because while we don't want to talk about his dad, it's about Murray. Murray, you mentioned when we had you in for that ham radio that your dad started a business at 14 years of age.
He started building crystal sets at 14.
Yeah, and did he sell those?
Yeah, he did sell those. And so then he started a shop in Brighton.
At what age?
Around 17, he actually opened the shop and is making radios and crystal sets.
At 17?
Yeah.
So, I guess, did you ever talk to your dad as to how did a young 17... Like, at 17 years old, some people would say I'm still an idiot, but at 17, I wouldn't have had enough brains to even consider starting a business. How did your dad... How did that happen?
He was just interested in radio and had been all his life interested in radio. Yeah. And, of course, radio was a new technology back then and not many people knew anything about it. Yeah. And he was just very keen on starting it. And backed by Grandma, his mum, said, yeah, why don't you, and she backed him to open the shop.
Unbelievable.
And, my grandfather on my mum's side was the one who used to make the timber cabinets on the original radios, and I think I showed you one when you were at home the other day.
All right, so let's go now travel on to you. Where were you born, Murray?
I was born in Horsham in 1947.
So your mum and dad, your dad was 17, so how long did he have the shop down at Brighton?
He moved to Horsham in about 1929-30.
So what took him up there?
My mum.
she was a Horsham lady, was she?
Yes, she was, and my grandfather was from up there. He was a plumber up there. And he moved up to there.
So you were born, like they met, and you're born in Horsham. So how long were you in Horsham yourself?
The family moved in 1956 from Horsham to Healesville.
To Healesville.
Yep.
And how old were you when you came down then?
Oh, about nine, something like that, about 9 year old.
What brought them from Horsham down to Healesville?
There was a couple of things. One, the TV industry was taking off, and the tower side, radio towers, was getting fairly busy. So transporting towers from Horsham back to Melbourne, this sort of thing all the time, was beginning a bit of a problem.
Yep.
Radio-wise, was the same, getting parts and this sort of thing all the time.
Yep.
So my father bought a property in Healesville here, 32-acre or 35-acre farm, and set up the radio workshop and radio towers on that workshop. Right. In Myers Creek Road.
So he had a factory in Horsham, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And it was just producing radios?
Producing radios and also some radio towers.
But I was just going to ask you, when did you get into... And what got you into the towers?
Well, Dad started doing the towers because he needed towers to be able to hold up the aerials for the two-way radios, and there was nothing on the market.
Right.
So he designed a tower of what he wanted, and then got a engineer to have a look at it and build it up. Yep. And the first original self-supporting towers were actually made out of electrical conduit.
Are they?
Yeah.
Gee.
Very lightweight.
Gee. So.
And there's still some of those still standing today.
Are they?
Yeah.
All right. So now I want to get onto your life. So it's not a surprising that you got involved with towers, is it? So
no.
It was mainly... Is that the only job you ever had? Did you go straight from that to working for your dad, or what happened?
No, when we moved to Healesville, I did a couple of years at primary school here in Healesville.
Yep.
And then I went to Ringwood Technical School.
Yep.
And then I left technical school when I was 16.
Yep.
I then did my radio apprenticeship and attended the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology. Did a radio apprenticeship course through there as well.
Yep.
And then I also was working on the tower side as well.
Yeah, for your dad.
Yes, yeah, yep. For the family business, yep.
So you spend a lot of your time either producing these towers or actually putting them up, didn't you? You've been all over Australia putting up those, haven't you?
Yes, I have, yeah.
So I guess, like, you'd be away for months at a time?
Sometimes, yes. Like on the radio side, I'd mainly working on the radio for the first number of years.
Yeah.
I was putting in radios all over Australia for Department of Main Roads in New South Wales, all types of Snow Mountain Scheme, all up to the back of Burke and Broken Hill, Tipperborough, Hungerford. Yeah. And did a lot of installations also for the fire services in New South Wales, South Australia, and also in WA.
So your dad's company, was it, like, I know that I've seen some receivers that he made. When he came down here, were they mainly two-way radios?
Two-way radios, yes. Two-way radios. Dad produced the first Australian-designed and Australian-built two-way radio to go in as a mobile in a vehicle, yep.
First one?
Yep.
Now, I just want you
I think I showed you one the other day. One of the oldest ones I've got, I think, was built in 37, I think it was.
But I want you to tell us a story, because I know you've told me. You've got one there that's got your initials in it. So how did you get that back?
I was at it was given to me by a member of the fire brigade up at Swanpool.
Right.
Just out of Benalla. And he actually had it in his garage, and he gave me that particular radio because it was Harbros Radio and Harding's Brothers on the front pad, and we got talking. And he gave the radio to me, and the first thing I did was got a screwdriver and opened it up and had a look at it, and I said, "You're not going to believe this." And he said, "What's that?" I said, "There's my initials in 1963 when I was doing my apprenticeship. I actually built this radio." So I'm very proud that I've actually got that one of those ones that I actually did in my apprenticeship that I've still got.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to play Slim Dusty, and we're going to hear a lot about Slim Dusty. Australia is his name. Why are we playing that, Murray?
That was the very first song during the very first test transmission for the Shire of Healesville during the celebration. I think it was the 150th celebration or something like that it was at Healesville, and that was the very first song that went on the air.
So where was that? Where was the station based?
The station was based up at the Cornish Basin, which is the water tank, up on Mount Riddell Road.
Yep.
And the studio was about a quarter, if that, of this studio. It was just a very small comms building there that we had the Shire's radios and taxis and a couple of the estate agents, a few things in there. So we already had the tower there, and we managed to get an aerial up onto that. And that's where it went from there.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. I'm just trying to get this to play. No, just take it out. Just bear with us for half a tick, because we're not... Look, I'll just put on another quick song, which is... I know you've got a story about this. Sorry about this, ladies and gentlemen, but we've just got one little problem. I'm talking to Murray, and Murray was very, very instrumental in setting up Yarra Valley FM. Murray, we're going to play Slim Dusty with Lights on the Hill. There was a reason why you wanted to play that, so what's the reason why we're playing that one? This is not the first one that was played on there. No. It's just because I can't get the other one going.
Well, it was quite funny. We're actually working up at Durham Bandy in Queensland on the new colour TV installation. All up through Durham Bandy, right through Roma and all up through there in Charleville. And Slim Dusty and all his troop were travelling up there. And we'd had some really heavy rain overnight.
Yep.
And the road was closed. And they came up to the road closure signs, and we were sitting there as well. And
they said, "Look, we've got to get through, you know." And the guy from the road said, "Well, you can't get through." He said, "It's just too wet." And we suggested, "Well, we've got a four-wheel drive Chamberlain tractor here. Can we pull him through with that?" And the guy said, "I haven't heard what you said, but if the cars aren't here and the tractor's gone," he said, "I don't care." So we did three trips back and forth with a couple of them hooked together as well, and we pulled them through all this road. And we then got given some tickets that night to go to his concert in Queensland up there.
He would have loved to. He would have made a feature of you too, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he did. He asked us to come up on stage that night, and said we were the ones that managed to get him there that day because the road had been closed.
Right, let's listen to Lights on the Hill from Slim Dusty.
I can't help thinking of a good night's sleep, and the long, long roads of my life are a-calling me. These rough old hands are a-glued to the wheel, my eyes full of sand from the way they feel, and the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. It's a long, tough haul from away down south. A man's gotta find a little bread for his mouth and a home for a girl as sweet as my honey can be. So it's down through the gears, she's a-starting to pull. The gauge on the tank is a-showing near full, and the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. There's rain on the road, I can feel the load start a-shifting in a dance. Too late I see the post, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh no. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's a-really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me. I can feel the load start a-shifting in a dance. Too late to see the post, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh, no. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's a-really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me. In the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me.
I'm talking to Murray, and he was very instrumental in setting up Yarra Valley FM 99.1. All right, Murray, you're up in Healesville. You've been working on these towers.
Yep.
You decide it's time for something different, so you moved away. And what did you do then, Murray?
I moved to Moorabbin, lived in Moorabbin, and applied around for a couple of different jobs around the place. Then I applied for a job at Frodo Industries as a welder, a B-grade welder.
They were making trailers?
No, well, they were making trailers there as well, but I was actually working in the new shipping containers. They just started making shipping containers.
Oh, yeah.
And they were building shipping containers there. And I was working on them, welding all the side of the sheets up of the side of the buildings and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I just completed a time and methods and trying to save time sort of thing, because I was at Healesville as well.
Yeah.
And I suggested to them they change a few things around, and because production was only about 1.5 containers a day, and they're supposed to be putting out 8 a day.
Yeah.
So after we did all that, and after about 2 weeks, we'd bumped it up to about 5 or 6 containers a day without getting out. And then I was asked to become workshop manager.
Terrific, yeah.
And went to workshop foreman, and that was only there for a week, and then asked me to workshop manager, and moved up to workshop manager, and then ran the whole container section. And within 9 weeks from the time I'd started, we were actually putting out between 9 and 10 containers a day, between day and night shift.
So how long were you there, Murray?
About 12 months, 18 months.
Terrific. All right, now, I've got all the problems set out. It was my fault. Now, this is the Australia is his name. This was the very first record played on Yarra Valley on the test site.
Yes, it was, yep.
Right, let's go.
On the back.
battlefields across the sea, one wet and dismal morn. A heritage was carved in blood and a fighting man was born. On the rugged slopes of Gallipoli, where the digger earned his name, and the admiration of the Turk, Australia is his name. With a careless grin across his lips and a rifle in his hand, he's fought his way throughout the years in jungle or in sand. And proudly wearing on his head the hat they wore to fame, in the blooded test of courage raw, Australia is his name. He's a fighting man of world renown and the cover of the best. Just like his dad did once before, he's passed in every test. Now once again the drums of war have found him just the same. With the side turned up on this old hat, Australia is his name. There's a mother sits at home and waits in a thousand different towns, but down inside she's full of pride, her boy won't let her down. For he was born the digger breed, and he'll carry on the name. In the blooded test of courage raw, Australia is his name. On the battlefields across the sea, one wet and dismal morn, a heritage was carved in blood, and a fighting man was born. On the rugged slopes of Gallipoli, where the digger earned his name, and the admiration of the Turk, Australia is his name. And the admiration of the Turk, Australia is his name.
And of course that was a great Slim Dusky, and that was first of all the first song that was played when they did a transmission. And Murray was just saying that when they moved from Wurrialik to here, that that was the first song played again, wasn't it, Murray?
Yeah, we put that on. I put that on when they went off air at Wurrialik. I was actually here, yep. And I put that CD on with another link transmitter I had from here or from home. Yep. So the station wasn't dead air. It would just continue on with the music while we were doing a little transfer over all the gear.
Terrific. All right, so you're down Moorabbin. So yep. You decide you're going to come back to Healesville. So how long were you in Moorabbin, Murray?
I was there about 18 months, 2 years.
So you decided time to get back into family business.
Well, I was offered a job to go to Adelaide and open the office in Adelaide and manage Adelaide's office for the work on the pipeline to South Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And we put all the radio towers and all the solar systems and batteries and communications and generators and this thing from Peterborough, which is above, or Borough was the lowest station tower. From there right up to Moomba gas fields, and then from Moomba gas fields to Jackson oil fields and all sort of thing as well.
You've seen a lot of Australia, haven't you?
Done a few cases.
You've really have
been a few there. Miles, they say, make a mile.
All right, so you're back here in it's a family business now again, isn't it? You're back building these towers and that?
Yep, yes.
So how long did that business stay here in Healesville?
Well, we closed the radio side down in about 19... I think it was about 75, 76.
Yeah.
Because the radio tower side was just taken off dramatically. And towers were much more profitable than 2O radios.
Yeah. Murray, I just want to... I know that... I just want to touch base on this because you've told me about it. You were out near the Austin Hospital one day. Tell us that story, please. I think this is fair to say.
Austin Hospital. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. No, it was the Austin Op Shop.
Oh, right.
At Greensboro or Eltham, over that way somewhere.
Right, yep.
And my partner and I were there, and because she liked going to op shops,
yep.
Having a good look around. And we spotted this old gramophone over in the corner. And I said, oh, gee, I used to have one of those when I was a kid, or Mum and Dad had one, you know. Yep. So I was supposed to, and I paid a bit of money for it, but that didn't worry me. And we got it back home, and I thought, no, before I start with doing anything with this, I'll pull it apart and make sure it's okay. And I'm glad I did, because I found a couple of knees that were stuck between the gears.
Which wouldn't have gone well.
Probably would have broken the gears in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd cleaned all out and didn't sort of think anything of it. There was a whole lot of fantail wrappers and bits of rubbish and this sort of thing at the bottom. Grabbed all of that out and threw it in the rubbish bin, didn't think anything of it. A couple of days later, came back out and started to work on it, and then found a bit of cardboard in the bottom. And I pulled this bit of cardboard out, and in that was just two of my dad's amateur radio call sign cards in there, in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
So then the penny clicked that when I was a kid, I must have pushed those into that thing, and this was the same unit that I had that I used to play when I was about 6 or 7 years old.
So how long ago was this, Murray,
This is about 12 months ago.
So
a bit less.
It's been somewhere for 40 or 50 years.
Yep, and we actually went back and spoke to the lady we got it from at the Austin Op Shop and said and told her this is what I'd found. She said, well, that's strange. She said, because the lady who donated it to the shop came from Horsham, and she said she bought it at some people that were moving to Melbourne, and she bought it off them.
So she could have bought it off your mum and dad?
Yes, I would say so, yeah.
So it's been sitting in the one house for all those years.
Yep.
Up in Horsham, and then she brings it to Melbourne.
Yep.
And you just happen to be the person that walks in that day, and there it's sitting there.
And it had only been there about 10 days.
Unbelievable.
So I was just lucky at the right spot at the right time and got it. And I've just managed to get couple of the governor weights in it were broken.
Yep.
And I've just managed to get a couple of those last Saturday from a guy.
Fantastic. Coming on down the Barkley, we'll play that with Swim Dusty.
Yep.
It's just because you love Slim Dusty.
Yeah, I do.
Coming down the Barkley, I was stirring up the dust. Was going to be in Isa by dinner time or bust. Hadn't had no sleep and I was weary to the bone. When the offside tyre busted, I was many miles from home. There among the spinifex, I stood and cursed my luck. But that never changed no tyre, so I crawled beneath that truck. Daybreak on the Barkley could be a dreamy scene. But beneath a load of cattle is not the place for dreams. I had cow muck in my hair. Busted up my finger, wrestling with the spare. Oh, I thought I'd have a cupper, but the thermos was a wreck. Then I couldn't find my matches to light a cigarette. So I told the world my troubles in language very foul. But all I got for answer was the bellow from a cow. And I thought of happy hours just blazing on a horse. Behind a mob of cattle on a western watercourse. Oh, I cursed the day the truckies pushed the drover o'er the hill. Or I'd be sitting pretty if I was droving still. But those droving days are over now. I'm a truckie too, and I've gotta get to Isa, I've another load to do. Yes, I cursed the day the truckies pushed the drover all the hill. For I'd be sitting pretty if I was a droving still. But those droving days are over now. I'm a truckie too, and I've gotta get to Isa, I've another load to do.
Always great to hear from Slim Dusty, and he's played quite a part of your life, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has, especially when I used to drive trucks and road trains and sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a common thing that, you know.
Just briefly, we'll get I'm keen to keep moving on with your life, but you've got licences to drive road trains too, haven't you?
I let my road train licence go in 19... when I turned 70, because I'm 76 now, because they wanted me to have a medical every year. And I thought, well, do I really need to be driving 250-ton five-trailer road trains? You can't get those licences anymore.
So you're registered for five trailers?
Five trailers, 250-ton.
And they just won't allow them anymore?
No, they're now only 150-ton normally, and three trailers, about the maximum you get.
Gee. Murray, you've done work at a lot of radio stations, or four radio stations. Just give us a quick, because from what I can see, they're all over the place.
Yeah, they were. They were all over Australia. We did all the... When they did all the frequency changes on radios and they were going to stereo and they were also going to try to put more stations in and stop interference from stations, we put in a system called a directional aerial system, which was two towers with aerial tuning units and a power divider and a phase shifter in the transmitter side, which allowed virtually like a clover leaf signal, so you could actually take out signal. Now, 3MP was on the, by memory, was the same frequency as 4TO in Townsville and 6PR in Perth, and also one in New Zealand. So we actually took that piece of signal out by special engineering, why we did it, so that we could, all those stations were all on the same frequency and didn't interfere with each other.
Terrific. Just give us a quick brief rundown on the stations that you worked at, Murray.
Some of them, yeah. 3GL in
Geelong.
Yep. 3MP, 3SH in Swan Hill, 4BC in Bundaberg, 4TO, 3CR.
Where's 4TO?
Townsville.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
4CR?
Yeah, 4CR in Cairns. 7HT, 7HO, 7LA, 7SD.
Those are all in Tasmania, aren't they?
They're in Tassie, yep. 6PR and 6PM in Perth. 5SD in South Australia. There was a couple other ones in South Australia, but... Yeah, can't remember all of them, but and that was, I used to build all the aerial tuning units and power dividers and phase shifters and do all the coils and tuning and all the sort of thing all over the place.
And then you'd go and put them in at the
station. Go and put them in, yeah. We built up a special area in our workshop to actually pre-tune all the aerial tuning units and power divider and phase shifters, especially so we could virtually, like, I know the one at 4TO, the 7HT, we actually built up and put it in down in Hobart there, and when we fit it in, we only had to do a couple of very small adjustments.
Terrific.
About half a turn on the coils and this sort of thing. It was right.
So then you went back on the pipelines, did you, for a couple of years?
Yes, I did. I went back and we worked from about 1980 to about 82, working on the oil pipeline from down the coast, up the western side of the Flinders Ranges, up to above Karoola, where the oil pipeline went across, and then went along with the gas pipeline to Moomba, and then the oil line that went from Moomba up to Jackson Oil Fields and all up to that area.
So, and you were one of these fly-in, fly-out workers?
Yep, we worked in there, and we had our own, the company had our own good engineer, and we had our own aero commander, and we flew our crew in, and we'd do a crew change every week. And they'd work 21 days on and 7 days off.
Terrific. Let's listen to Slim Dusty, and we're going to hear Callaghan's Pub.
There's the same old coaching stable that was used by Cobb and Co. And the yard the coaches stood in more than 60 years ago. And the public private parlour where they served the passing swell was the shoeing forge and smithy up at Callaghan's Hotel. There's the same old walls and woodwork that our fathers built to last, and the same old doors and wainscot and the windows of the past, and the same old nooks and corners where the Jim Jams used to dwell. But the phantoms dance no longer up at Callaghan's Hotel. There are memories of the old days that were red instead of blue, in the time of Dick the Devil and of other devils too. But perhaps they went to heaven and their angels doing well. They were always open-hearted up at Callaghan's Hotel. Then the new chum broken-hearted and with boots all broken too,
bottle who was down and suffering hell. And no Tucker bags went empty out of Callaghan's Hotel. And I sit and think in sorrow of the nights that I have seen, when we fought with chairs and bottles for the orange and the green, for the pride of dear old Ireland, till they rang the breakfast bell, and the honour of old England up at Callaghan's Hotel. Oh, there's the same old coaching stable that was used by Cobb and Co, and the yard the coaches stood in more than 60 years ago. And the public private parlour where they served the passing swell was the shoeing for Jen Smithy up the Callaghan's Hotel.
I'm talking, welcome back to Choice Tunes, and I'm talking to Murray. As I've said, he was very, very instrumental in not only getting us on air, but also keeping us on air and during the changeover. So, Murray, you started your own business. The family business is closed down. So, did you didn't continue building towers, did you? You went more into security.
I went in to do, I took over the, we used to do a security alarms when we had good engineering, and we're doing security alarms and two-way radio still. And when the family business closed down, I took over that side of it, of the security alarms and the two-way radios.
Yep. But, Murray, do many people, I know the CFA and the police and all those, do people like the Shires and that still use them in their trucks, or are they all using mobile phones?
A lot of them are using mobile phones. Some of them are still using two-way radios, especially in the country areas, right. Because they find that mobile phones are still not reliable.
Yeah.
They get dropouts, this sort of thing. They do use mobile phones as well, but they still are, a lot of them are still using two-way radios.
Yeah, and has anybody building two-way radios now, or is it just a case of repairing the radios?
There's still a lot of companies building two-way radios. You got Motorola and Simico and a few other companies that are still building around. Tate are one of the big builder as well of radios.
Do they?
New Zealand company.
Taxi companies use them now, or do they not? Are they mobile?
They've changed over a lot of digital dispatch systems now, but a lot of that is
computers, aren't they?
Yeah, but a lot of that is still actually via two-way radio as well.
Is it?
Yep.
All right. We'll play Slim Dusty and the Pub Rock.
I guess you've heard the story of a pub with no beer. Saddest story heard for many a year. The times are changing, I've found. They've really hepped it up in that country town. Now everybody's starting to rock as they do the pub with no beer rock. And all the stockmen are on the beat. So the jeeps, the new limousines, away from the dry stock route. Crazy pub with no beer rock, yeah! There's old Billy with his blacksmith blues, sick and tired of seeing horses too. The pub is Bill's retreat, and each night he turned out neat. Leaves looking like a rag mop. They're on the crazy pub with no beer rock. And there's the swag in his new suede shoes. A reeling and a rockin' beatin' time to the blues. Always rockin' with the major dome. You ought to see those cool cats a reel and go. The chandeliers are likely to drop as they do the pub with no beer rock. Traveling around our way, feeling dry and dusty from the long dry day. Come along and take a bow to the pub at the beer where the beer flows now. And when you're back in town, you will stop and do the pub at the beer rock. So gather up the swaggy and the maid we knew, Billy the blacksmith and the
Stockman too. Come along and drink with me. Tonight we're making rock history, and may the rhythm never stop. And this is a rolling pop, but no beer rock. Roll and rock, roll and rock, as they do the pop, but no beer rock. As they do the pop, but no beer rock. As they do the pop, but no beer rock.
So, Murray, I'm keen to talk to Murray again. Murray, why did you get involved with Yarra Valley, and how did you get involved? Did somebody ask you, or was it your idea?
No, I was about 3 weeks before the station was to go on air for the first time. Jeff Walker, who was the assistant shire engineer, which I'd known through Apex Club for many years, rang me up and said, look, we're in shy of this guy who's organising everything, doesn't seem to know where to get a transmitter and an aerial and all this sort of thing. So can you help us out? So I got involved and got an aerial organised, and I had cable and this sort of thing. So we got all that, and I got a transmitter from the Public Broadcast Association. Uh-huh. Got a loan of that for the transmitter for it. And this other guy had all the information. I had all the studio gear and records and everything else. In the last minute, he pulled out, so it was a bit of a problem, so we had to get things organised in a hurry, but we're on air only 5 minutes later than what we're supposed to be.
Gee, that's right. And how long was that test?
It went for about 2 days.
Right. And then how often were you allowed to test, Murray?
We had to make an application for each test transmission, and we did 13 test transmissions all told before we got our full-time licence.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
So, and why? What do they do at the end of those? Like, do they evaluate what you've done, or what do they do after the end of each test transmission?
No, we just got feedback from the public and sort of the support from the public for part of our licence submission to be able to get a full-time licence, which we did. And there's a lot of work into there, and, you know, I'd like to thank all the ones who did put their work into it and hours into doing all that work as well. There was a lot of people involved in that.
Was there?
Yeah. We had a committee on that, and there was probably 15-20-odd people over the time.
All people with radio knowledge? Or just
no, a lot of them, no. There was accountants. There was a whole lot of other different people that were interested in doing it and helping.
I'm sitting on a bar stool in the corner, and what I'm doing isn't very bright. Please stand by me till the morning, for I'm out to drown my blues tonight. Dim lights and cigarette smoke all around me, some joke I'm playing on myself tonight. My tears are falling in the glass I'm holding. I'm out to drown my blues tonight. They say the clouds still have a silver lining. I've heard that song before. Sometimes a man gets sick and tired of trying, and I feel that I can't fight anymore. I'm crying as I'm trying to forget her and shake her from my mind and from my sight. Be sick and sad and sober in the morning, but I'm out to drown my blues tonight. I know I'll have to straighten in the morning and face up to the cold hard light of day. They say the clouds still have a silver lining. I've heard that song before. Sometimes a man gets sick and tired of trying, and I feel that I can't fight anymore. I'm crying as I'm trying to forget her and shake her from my mind and from my sight. Be sick and sad and sober in the morning, but I'm out to drown my blues tonight. I'm out to drown my blues tonight.
Now, Murray, I know that you've got the the thing that your dad produced, and you've got the one that you produced, but you've also along the line picked up the odd old radio, haven't you?
Yes, I have, yes.
And which is good. So out of those, are they the only two that you've had back that you know that your dad produced or you produced?
No, I've got a couple of others as well. I've got one that came from Len Marshall, who used to be the bass operator at Coldstream.
Oh, yeah.
And Len gave that to me many years ago when they went to VHF radios from HF.
Right.
And he said, "Oh, you might hang on to this." And I saw him one day and gave that to me. So I've still got that in the condition that he actually gave it to me because I was, you know, up in the roof of the workshop.
Oh, terrific. Righto, Murray. Now, this in 2011... You decided to get a pilot's license.
Yeah, I decided to go back and get my pilot license. I did have 1 year ago and led the laps. Yep.
You had flown before.
Yep, and led the laps. And I went back to Lilydale and I was talking to them and they said, "Oh, what do you want? We're actually up flying with the instructor and in a Cessna." And he said, "What do you want to go back to? Would you just go back commercial or just flying?" I thought, just for fun, just to enjoy myself. He said, "Well, why don't you go RAA?" And I said, "Never thought of it." He said, "Well, it's easier. If you've got your car license, you can get your pilot license." And he said, "We'll go back and drop in one of them." So went back down, landed, and jumped in a Jabiru, and away we went. We did 3 takeoffs and lands, and he said, "Oh, you're all right." So, yeah, I had to do X amount of hours with that to do the transition of licensing again, this sort of thing. And got my license in back in, I think it was 2012 or something like that.
Yep.
April 2012, got my pilot license back.
And also in 2004, you went and did a diesel fitting course.
Yep, 2-year course, night course.
Unbelievable. And you've also done a course in aircraft maintenance, so you can work on your own plane.
Yep.
So is there a lot of work? I know you've got to work the hour, you've got to fly the hours. Is there a lot of maintenance on an aircraft?
There's specific maintenance depending on the aircraft and depending on the type of aircraft it is and what's got to be done, like hours, depending whether it's 100 hours or 200 hours or whatever, or in time-wise, every 5 years, like mine at the moment, we worked on it yesterday with another Lamy.
Yep.
The book says somewhere between 20 and 22 hours labour to actually do the five-year rubber change, and every piece of fuel line, every piece of oil line, every piece of radiator hose, and everything else, all has to be changed. And it's,
because it's not like a car that if it starts to putter out, you pull up on the side of the road, is it?
It's not quite. It's got to be 110%. It's got to be. And I'm pretty, you know, make sure everything's right with it at all times.
Murray,
don't take shortcuts.
Yeah, well, it's your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you use it. Tomorrow you just get up and say, "I think I'll go to Bendigo for a trip.
Just go for fun.
Do you, when you do that, would you fly to say, "Well, we'll pick out Bendigo, Warrnambool, or something like that"? Do you then land and then go into the town, or is it just you decide, "I'm going to go to Warrnambool"? You fly down, fly around, and fly home.
Oh, you can do that. Otherwise, you can sort of plan a trip and go somewhere.
But what would you normally do?
Oh, I quite often just go for a day trip or something like that.
But not necessarily stop when you get...
Because you don't have a lot of baggage room in the one I've got is a Light Sports,
yep.
Same two-seater,
yep.
A full aluminium body made by ICP Savana in Italy.
Yep.
100 horsepower Rotax motor in it. Very, very, very safe plane, very good plane.
Really?
Yeah, you can fly up to 10,000 feet.
So is this the only plane you've owned, or have you had it?
Yep. No, it's the only one I've personally owned, yep.
Oh, right. How long have you had that then?
2012, I bought that.
Gee, that's all right.
Mm.
Yeah. And obviously you enjoy flying. You get up there and you're free as a bird. Is that the idea?
That's it. And my partner gets a little bit annoyed and I said, "You're taking over and, you know, I'll just let the controls go." And she gets a bit nervous. But
yeah, but you're there to make sure it doesn't go wrong, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, it's pretty good, though.
Yeah. All right, Murray, I think we're coming up for our last song and it's Life is Like a River. Again, or is there any... Or what about the Ballad of Port Macquarie?
Yeah, that sounds good.
What if we take that? Let's go with that. And, well, first of all, Murray, look, I'd really like to thank you for coming in and being part of Choice Tunes. You've got a fascinating history. You really have. I just can't believe some of the things that you've told us today that I know you've done. It's just, You've amazing that the stuff that you've fitted into. What would you say was the best part of what you've done? Building the towers or?
That's a very hard question, really, because I just enjoy doing it. I still enjoy working. That's the thing. People say retire, but I still enjoy doing what I'm doing.
And when you work, when you do that, you never work a day in your life, do you?
No, that's right.
From the beach with the sea billows rolling, there's a place in Australia to go, where the tall whispering pines bid you welcome, and the sunset is red with its glow. There's an old stone church on the hilltop, preserved now from past history. In this fair place they name Port Macquarie, where the Hastings flows into the sea. Oh yeah, that's right. The first settlers came here by sailboat, from old Sydney town came this way. Now the tourists, they come from all over, each year more are coming to stay. Where the sun shines so warm in the winter, and there's so many places to see. So just come and soak up the sunshine, where the Hastings flows into the sea. A few miles away to the westward is Warhope, that old timber town. And the giant sawmills keep on turning as the logs from the mountains come down. And down to the south is Lake Cattai, as lovely a scene you could see, where the Christmas bells bloom in the summer on the road that leads down to the sea. Oh yeah, that's right. From the beach with the sea billows rolling, there's a place in Australia to go, where the tall whispering pines bid you welcome, and the sunset is red with its glow. There's an old stone church on the hilltop, preserved now from past history. In this fair place they name Port Macquarie, where the Hastings flows into the sea. In this fair place they name Port Macquarie, where the Hastings flows into the sea.